Welcome to Historically St. Pete, a weekly conversation where we explore the truths and sometimes the myths of the people and the events that have helped create the Sunshine City. Hi, my name is Rui Frias, and I have one of the coolest jobs in town, the executive director of the St. Pete Museum of History. Located on the pier, we've been sharing the stories of the Sunshine City for 103 years, and now we're happy to share them with you. So there's been a long history of remarkable restaurants in St. Petersburg. And when you speak to some old timers like me, we always think back to another time in St. Pete, a much slower, less populated time when the Sunshine City wasn't so hip. We always mention places like Pepin's on 4th Street, Peter's Place on Beach Drive, the Skyline Room on 9th Street, or even the Columbia on the Inverted Pier. But like how our city has evolved and grown over the last 25 years, so has the food industry here. But there's one restaurant in particular that has captured the essence of historic St. Petersburg, but with a few modern, more hip touches. The Elliott Astor and the newly remodeled Vinoy Resort Hotel. I was fortunate enough to be invited to the opening, and from the moment I walked in, I was floored. Never mind how amazing the food and drinks were, but when you walk in, you are immediately transported back to the jazz age of the 1920s. Honestly, I expected to see F. Scott Fitzgerald sitting at the bar having a gin Ricky with some of the other members of the Lost Generation. Joining us today on Historically St. Pete is the owner and one of the creative minds behind the Elliott Astor, Kevin Bame. Kevin, welcome to Historically St. Pete.
I'd love to have a drink with F. Scott Fitzgerald.
So
can you set that up?
So could I, yes. So listen, we've got so much to talk about today, like the restaurant, like the Elliott Astor, your fantastic book, The Bottomless Cup, and of course the book signing you're going to be holding at the Museum of History this Thursday.
I can't wait.
Well, your story is pretty mesmerizing. I mean, you've opened more than 50 restaurants in the last 30 years, earning Michelin stars, national awards, and in 2019, you and your partner Rob Katz won the James Beard Award for Outstanding Restaurateur. How you reached this point, and that's a good part of what I think your book is about, is even a better story. So tell us how this started. Give us the background here of how you became the guru of restaurants.
I don't know if I'm that, but you know, I was exhausted just listening to that. You know, I told my parents at age 10 that I wanted to open up my own restaurant. But at that point, I really just thought that we threw a party every night and everybody kind of messed it up. We cleaned it up and we did it again the next day.
That's not true?
Partially true.
Okay.
No, it is partially true. And I really didn't start thinking about it seriously until I got away to college. And, you know, at a certain point, I packed my Jeep up and I drove south and drove to Florida, to the panhandle of Florida, and decided I wanted to try my hand at restaurants. It didn't go well at first. No one would hire me. I ended up working at an amusement park and at a certain point was living in my car. And I think my turning point was I wrote this beautiful piece of fiction that was this resume I created at one of those resume companies, all with restaurants that had all mysteriously gone out of business. So they couldn't call for a reference check. And I talked my way into a captain's job at a restaurant called the Beach House. And it only took me about a week of being there. And I knew I'd found my people and I knew I'd kind of found my purpose.
Oh my gosh. I mean, a far cry from the panhandle to what you're doing now. So tell us about some of these restaurants. Well, tell us how you opened your first restaurant. How about that? Where did these ideas come from?
I was very superstitious back then. And what I figured out was, I go, if I work six doubles a week and I save everything I make off of one and I live off of the other one, eventually I should have enough money to open up a restaurant. It turns out that was 2.5 years of working six doubles a week, and I saved up enough money to open a little six table restaurant in Seaside, Florida, that was called the Lazy Days Cafe. And my girlfriend and I opened it at the time. My first lesson in the restaurant business is quickest way to ruin a relationship is to open up a restaurant with that person. We weren't that smart, so we opened for breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the beginning. We dropped breakfast very quickly, and we were just this two person operation. And lucky for us, the town, you know, I think they thought we were adorable. Here's this little couple trying to run a restaurant, just the two of them. And, you know, we survived on kind of charm and faith and sweat and hard work. And I kind of got my bachelor's degree and master's degree in restaurants by doing everything, you know, everything from plumbing to HVAC to prepping to cooking to washing dishes. And that's how it all started. And then somebody bought that restaurant from us. And I opened a second restaurant just down the street, and that coincided with the Truman Show being filmed in Seaside, and the town kind of exploded, and helped me.
I'm sure. So in that first restaurant, who was doing the cooking? Were you doing the cooking?
Teresa was doing the cooking, and I was like cooking on the cold station, but waiting on every table. So I was doing salads and garmage. She was doing all the hot food. And then I was serving and washing dishes. And so it was a lot of juggling.
Wow.
Actually, my first day of service ever, the pilot light went out in the oven. I was putting bread in the oven, and the oven blew up my face and caught my hair on fire. So things did not start out well. But
and you stuck with it.
I did.
So, all right, the Truman Show. You said it changed that town. How did it change your life?
Well, first of all, it's like, you know, when a movie comes to town, especially a small town like that, it's truly like the circus came to town. And Peter Weir, who was the director, came into my bar one night before he filmed there. And we had this great conversation. And him and I talked music. And I didn't know who he was at first. And he's telling all these crazy stories about being in Indonesia with Mel Gibson and Sigourney Weaver. And I'm like, who are you? He's like, I'm Peter Weir. I'm like, the guy who directed Dead Poets Society? Oh, I know who you are. And he said, yeah, I'm looking at this city to be a movie set because I won't have to change anything. And so they came and filmed, and I got to cater the dailies for several months and got to know Jim. And, you know, and soon after that, you know, there was so much press about Seaside. It just exploded.
So obviously, I mean, that a big boom for the city, but also for you. But so where did that take you next?
So I ended up selling that as well. And that's when I decided to go back to my hometown. And, you know, my first two restaurants were kind of stuck together with bubblegum and scotch tape. And I was like, you know what? I want to open up a real restaurant, you know, a restaurant with a real kitchen line and 135 seats. And so I went back to my hometown and I opened up a restaurant that's still open. It's been open 28 years. I just did a book dinner there the other night. It's called Indigo. And, you know, that was kind of my PhD in restaurants, was like, okay, here's a real restaurant with 40 employees and I've got to manage people. And that was, we opened in 97. And then after that, I went to Nashville and had my first taste of failure. I opened up a very big restaurant over there and it kind of overran me. And probably the turning point of my life. I ended up being a pretty good detective about why it didn't work. I went back to being a student again of the game, and that's what led me to Chicago. And I met my partner Rob Katz, and we opened up Boca, which was our first restaurant together 23 years ago. And it's gotten a Michelin star 15 consecutive years.
Wow.
And the chef at Elliot Astor in St. Pete is the chef of Boca, one of the great chefs in America. And it's I'm so proud that we've been there for over two decades.
In Chicago, I mean, not an easy town for restaurants. I mean, I've been there a couple times, and basically it's like restaurant heaven there as a visitor. Right? It's a lot of competition.
It is, and you know, my whole life was like, when I started out, I was like, okay, let me learn in these smaller towns, and you know, eventually I'm going to go and see if I can hit a major league curveball. And that's kind of what Chicago was for me. It was like, hey, let's see if I'm good enough to tackle this. And it was at a moment in my life where I was having my first daughter, and there was a lot of pressure, but you know, pressure can create some really amazing things. Mm-hmm. And my partner and I lived and died at that restaurant at the beginning. We were there, you know, I was there, you know, 9 a.m. to midnight every single day. And you know, thank God it worked. Changed my life.
That's fantastic. So eventually, after multiple other restaurants, you make your way to St. Petersburg, right?
Yes.
So why St. Petersburg?
Well, so, you know, we opened a lot of restaurants in Chicago, and at a certain point, we're like, you know what? let's take our show on the road and see if it works. And we did a few restaurants out of town. We did Girl and the Goat in Los Angeles. We did Laser Wolf in New York that was a big hit. And we started to feel confident about that we had a road show in us. We had figured out how to do it. The Glazers that, you know, are own the Tampa Bay Buccaneers,
right,
and Manchester United, were very good customers. They live part-time in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
We're very big fans of Boca. We're very big fans of Lee Wallen. They own the Vinoy Hotel. And one day they came to us and said, would you ever open a restaurant with us in St. Petersburg? And we're like, sure.
I mean,
we're gamers, you know? We're like, you know what? Weather's a lot nicer there than it is in Chicago. That seems like a good place to have a restaurant. And so we came and looked at it and just really fell in love with the Vinoy Hotel, and also just fell in love with the Glazers. They're really good people. They have a very high standard of the things that they want to be involved with.
Mm-hmm.
And we loved the hotel, and the space was beautiful. It was historic. David Rockwell, the great designer, they had on board to design it. And we just thought we had a really good team. We had a great hotel. We had great owners as partners. We had David Rockwell, a great designer. We had a very a good bench of great cooks and guys who wanted to go to Florida to help us. And, you know, the alchemy of all those things produced a restaurant we're really proud of. And, you know, last week, I think they just did the top 50 restaurants in Tampa and St. Pete.
They did, yeah.
Last week at the Tampa Bay Times, I think we got number 6 is where we debuted at. So it made us very proud.
That's fantastic. So what was the thought process about the actual theme of the Elliott Astor? I mean, it's obviously the hotel, but give us a little more on that.
You know, it's funny because when we create concepts, you know, a lot of times we have a very defined concept. We'll pull a board out and we'll go, what are the core competencies of this concept? And then what are the ways that we're going to bend it? In this case, the Glazers are like, you know what? What about something that combined Alavita, which is our Italian restaurant in Chicago, Boca, our American contemporary restaurant, and a little bit of steak? And we kind of created this American contemporary restaurant that was meat focused. So it's kind of an Italian steakhouse, was the idea. And so then we roll into Test Kitchen and we say, okay, let's develop a handmade pasta program. And what are we going to do for a steak program? We created this kind of very round American menu, but with some very creative touches on it. You know, Lee is one of the great chefs in the world. He worked at two of the world's number one restaurants. He was at El Bulli in Spain, and he was also at 11 Madison Park in New York. And then he got a Michelin star at the Peninsula in Chicago before us. So he's been a Michelin star chef for like 16 straight years.
Wow.
And so, you know, when you have a sports car like that, you can drive it fast.
Yes.
And so that's what we did.
That's a great analogy. Listen, as a historian, I'm incredibly just pleased and happy as can be with what the Glazers did with that hotel. The previous owners, I mean, you know, in some of the remodeling, it kind of looked, the interior looked very Miami Beach-ish, and that's just not us, right? And
right.
I still remember when Vanessa was still there as a GM, and I walked into that hotel after it had been remodeled. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what it's supposed to look like, right? So they did do an amazing, amazing job with the Vinoy.
Yeah, I totally agree. I love it.
So every time I've been bragging about this restaurant since we ate there, and every time I tell people the name of it, they want to know who Elliott Astor is. So
yes,
explain to us the name and how you got the name.
Yeah, it's a perennial wildflower that's indigenous to Florida.
Yep.
And we think, you know, and you want to create restaurants that are perennials, you know, that bloom every single year.
Sure.
So that was really the idea.
That's fantastic. That's a fantastic reason to name it that. All right. So let's discuss your book here, right?
Yes.
So I'm looking at a copy of it right now. And, you know, as if your life wasn't busy enough, you found time to write a book. So why did you feel that you needed to do this?
Well, you know, I wrote an article in Esquire magazine in 2020, and a book agent had seen it and sent me a nice email and said, I really enjoyed your article, and did you really write it? And I said, yes, I really wrote it. My publicist did not write that. I was like, yeah, I've been a writer my whole life. And, you know, I wrote for the Sun Times, and I wrote for Fast Company magazine, and you know, and I wrote as a hobby. And I went to go see the agent. Said, hey, if you're ever in New York, stop by my offices. Well, it turns out that book agent was the book agent behind Tuesdays with Morrie and Devil in White City, and was kind of a New York legend. And he's like, Ken, I think you got a style. He goes, you know, pitch me some ideas. And I pitched him four ideas, and he didn't like any of them. And I was like, I have a much more personal story. And I told him a story. My book kind of opens with a mystery a bit. A stranger took me out to breakfast when I was 18 years old, 3 days before I went to college. And he took me out to breakfast and said, you know what? I have a story to tell you. You know, your whole childhood's a lie. And I'm going to let you in on a secret that I've kept for a long, long time. And that's kind of where the book opens. And that secret led to me, you know, kind of packing up my Jeep and leaving town and, you know, finding a home that I never had in the restaurant business. So it's a story of four damaged people. And it's a story of my history in the restaurant business. And it's kind of my own, you know, wellness journey and a redemption story. And so it's a lot more than just a restaurant book.
Right.
So it's a very, very personal book to me. It was very cathartic to write it. So I turned it into my publisher last September, and pub date was actually on November 4th. It's going to come out here in you hear it here first. It could come out, I think, next week. That we just got Bloomberg's 50 best books of 2025.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
Which is really exciting.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So listen, we don't want to give away, I mean, you described a lot, but we don't want to give away the plot because we want people to buy it and read this.
Yes.
I started reading it last night. So what do you want people to take away from this after they finish reading it?
You know, a few things. You know, one, rock bottom is a gift, but most people don't survive rock bottom. I was lucky enough to survive it and be able to be as ambitious about my own life and happiness as I was restaurants. I think a lot of people might see themselves in it and understand, you know, I was a bipolar denier for a long, long time, and I took way too long to get help. So I'm hoping the people that read it will prioritize their own happiness. Wow. And realize that as a human, you're an evolution, and there's many different versions of you, and each version of you might need a different recipe. And so what worked for me 30 years ago doesn't work for me now.
Right.
And also that everyone can play a cameo role in other people's lives. I've been really lucky to be able to look at what's going on in a restaurant every single night, look at very important moments in people's lives, and be able to slide in and change the temperature. I'm grateful for being able to do that.
Wow, that's fantastic. Listen, as a St. Pete geek, when I opened the book and I saw the inside cover, I mean, you have a quote from Angela Bassett on the inside cover. Of course, the
yes.
St. Pete-born actress who calls the book a deeply moving and masterfully crafted memoir. I mean, man, I like I said, I just started reading it last night, and I'm already hooked. Right. So,
oh, thanks.
So, listen, everybody who's listening, you'll have the chance to purchase Bottomless Cup and hear and meet Kevin this Thursday at 6 o'clock at the St. Pete Museum of History. Now, our seating is limited for the event, so you can go to the museum's website, which is historystpete.org, to reserve your spot. And you can also purchase an advance copy that will be waiting for you at the check-in. Before I let you go, I need to know, what's your favorite thing to eat?
I'm a sushi guy.
Are you?
I probably eat a sushi meal 3 or 4 days a week.
Wow.
And I'm an omakase guy. I'm like, you know, really pristine Japanese fish programs with nigiri, which is a little brush on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the happiest person ever.
That's fantastic. Well, listen, Kevin, thank you so much for joining us today on Historically St. Pete. We're looking forward to Thursday's conversation, the book signing. People are going to love the story when they hear it. I promise you that.
Oh, thank you so much.
So I invite everyone to tune in weekly to Historically St. Pete here on Radio St. Pete. And don't forget to stop by the Museum of History on your next visit to the pier. Just as importantly, make a reservation at Elliott Astor and experience the St. Pete grandeur from the 1920s. I promise you, you won't regret it. Thank you all so much for listening, and join us next week on Historically St. Pete.